Yeah, it's a podcast, but we're still not going to let him swear. Subscribe to Tim and Sid at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
We're back! You ready? Tim and Sid! Hour number three. Swear!
This is Tim and Sid. It is hour three. I'm Sid Sixero, not alone in this segment. From a Tim and Sid standpoint, I am alone. McAuliffe's on vacay. He'll be back next week. I want to thank Craig Forrest for staying in studio as Tim Bezpachenko of the Toronto FCers was on the line talking about Sebastian Jovinko, the newest signing. Let's go from one situation that isn't great to another that has surprisingly become really not great, and that's what's going on at the ACC with the Toronto Raptors. I would like to introduce, is this a Tim and Sid debut?
This is my debut.
Megan Robinson of Sportsnet 590, The Fan, who, I mean, I just think is way more professional than everyone else around here, which is why I asked her in, but that's neither here nor there. Megan, welcome to Tim and Sid.
Thanks.
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Do you have some people watching and listening?
You know what?
Do you give the heads up?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you
should have.
Should have heard her cuss during the break. Oh my God, like a drunken sailor. We almost couldn't go on air. It shook me to my core. Megan Robinson here at Sportsnet 590, The Fan, has had the pleasure at times and the displeasure to be at basically every Raptors home game this season and has reported dutifully at those games. So you were there yesterday during the NFC title game at Air Canada Center.
It was really hard. I had a lot of bets on that game. I'm a Packers fan.
Oh, really? Mm. So how many media members acted like they were watching the basketball game yesterday? And really had some feed from another country up of Fox.
I was watching a French version of the Packers-Seahawks game.
Je m'appelle touchdown.
It was awesome.
There you go.
I would like to say, though, that Coach Casey actually ended his pregame conference, pregame scrum, by saying, go Hawks.
Oh, yeah, he's a Seattle guy. So you tell me, like, what's the timeline of when Coach Casey's talking to you guys in the end of that football game? Was that football game over yet?
No, it was just wrapping up as we went into the room. So OT had just finished and a couple of players were leaving.
Okay, so
very pleased.
So he knew they won.
Yes.
Dwayne Casey's a huge Seahawks fan. Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting to know. So Let's now let's talk about the game you guys acted like you were watching, which was New Orleans taking on the Raptors. Again, you've been down there all season. What's happening right now with that team? Because I don't think anyone has an answer internally or externally.
They're starting to face the first struggle that they've really had at all this season and for a while. I mean, they lost two back-to-back home games since March last season. And they're starting to realize that it's not going to be a simple fix, you know, losing seven of their last nine games. And now all of a sudden, fans are starting to notice that they're having a hard time coming out of it. So they are walking a little slower, hanging their heads a little bit. And they're not very pleased with themselves. I mean, you lose 7 of 9. You lose to the Pelicans. You put up a season-low first half points, 36 yesterday. Shots aren't falling, and they're having
a really hard time setting a new low, like Friday
night
against Atlanta,
38.
Which was 38.
Yeah.
So now it's just one. Now they're getting at least consistent with how bad they are in the first half,
which is not something that anybody expected from the Toronto Raptors this season. I mean, they pegged them to be so good, but even the best teams fall at some point, and this is the first adversity they're really facing. And so I think they're realizing what kind of team they have now that they're not in a good spot. I mean, just in real life, you take outside of basketball that, you know, when you're going through a hard time, you recognize who's going to be there to support you. I think they're going through the exact same thing
right now. They're finding out how, I mean, you know, when you're winning, of course, the locker room's great.
It's great.
Of course, the unity is there. Of course, it's kumbaya. Of course, this and, hey, Gravis Vasquez, you know what? He's funny. He's not outspoken or loudmouth at all. I think that guy's funny. Now you lose 7 of 9 or whatever run they're in. Everyone's kind of looking around the room going, what exactly is happening here? Now, the booing. I'm getting mixed reports on when the booing took place at the ACC. Did you hear it? And when did you hear it?
I did hear it. It was when they were leaving after the first half.
Did they boo at the end of the game?
I did not hear them.
Okay. So after the first half, when they set a new season low with 36 points scored, is when fans started to get a little antsy. What did you make of that? Because I'm sure that's the first time anyone's come close to hearing that this year there.
I think when any fans boo, of course, you know, you've paid to be there. It's your right. It's your opinion. If you want to boo, fine. But, you know, don't be that fair weather fan. Is it this city that, you know, maybe that's what happens when people see a team finally facing adversity? Or, you know, do they just have a really low patience? You know, do they have none? I'm not sure. It was a really strange situation.
Well, there's some odd there's now expectations. Let's be honest here. This is in 18 months or whatever it's been since, or less than that, since the Rudy Gay deal. People are expecting a certain thing from that organization and that team. And it's so jarring when you don't see them do it. And I'm not talking about wins and losses. I'm talking about 36 points against a team. Let's give this context from yesterday. Anthony Davis is not playing like a top three player on earth right now. He's not playing for the Pelicans. Jrue Holiday is their starting point guard. He is not playing for them. And you don't get a sniff in the first half. Now, with all due respect to their third quarter yesterday, keep it. I'm not that interested. It's how you finish. It's how you defend. It's whether or not you are there from Jump Street. And I apologize for saying Jump Street. I'm nearly 40. The point is this. I understand why those fans are booing. I get why they're booing. Because this is Toronto, damn it. They know how this could end at any moment. Any success from a professional sports team standpoint is on a knife's edge. Toronto FC just paid a guy like $6 million a year. He might leave in September. That's Toronto. That's how it works here. So anyone kind of ripping the fans for letting him have it at the end of the first half yesterday needs to kind of snap out of it a little bit. Because a lot of these people who follow all teams in Toronto have been beaten emotionally to their core. And they don't have the patience for this. Nor should they, in my humble opinion. Anything I've said you take umbrage with, Megan, and you could be honest. We're an honest show here.
So Gravis Vasquez actually pointed out post-game, and I think we've got the clip.
Wait a second. Hey, don't be teeing up your own clips, Megan. Now you're getting all, hey, I'm Megan Robinson, and you're not. Actually, it was pretty good. Megan Robinson yesterday. Now, how many people were in this scrum? I think it was you and just a camera?
I'd say there were about six of us.
Okay. So, listen, of all the Raptors at any given moment who could say anything to get in some kind of trouble, I think Gravis Vasquez is like number one and number two on the list.
Oh, easily.
Because when things are going great, he's like, man, this is amazing and we're the best. He always seems like a guy who, if he gets a little pissed off, if the minutes aren't there, like he's my first vote to really go off here. Now, he didn't do that yesterday, but he did comment on the booing. Now, before we run the clip, the answer we're about to hear was elicited from your question. So what did you ask him?
Actually, it was because Coach Casey had said that Gravis had come in and given the team energy, especially in the third quarter and leading into the fourth. Terrence Ross, pointless through the entire first half. I don't know if you've heard a lot of Gravis Vasquez scrums, but you ask him one question and he'll go into a completely different direction.
He's Ken Dryden.
So
just won't shut up.
He started with the loss.
You started with the loss, and then it turned into something else.
And it did. And so he talked about how they're human.
Hold on. Don't give it away.
They're struggling.
We're about to play.
Okay.
We're about to play it.
Okay.
We're about to play it.
Okay.
She's taking over the show. This is, I can't work. I can't work with her. This was Gravis Vasquez after the game yesterday.
You know, fans have to be patient. I find, you know, discourage how they boo us and stuff like that. I think that's very nice because, you know, we are here playing hard for them and representing the city. And we want the best. And we want to win. I mean, that's on behalf of the whole, you know, I mean, we have meetings, we come here to practice, we want to win. We just, you know, we're humans, we struggle, and that's what we're going through right now, struggles. And we're going to face that as a team, and then we're gonna start winning. We will start winning. We're not losers. We're not going to stay like this. We're not going to go to sleep. We're not happy. Ain't nobody happy in this locker room. We all pissed off, and we're going to put it together. But, you know, it might take a little bit of time. I'd rather struggle right now than struggle, you know, later on when everybody's at their peak. I think we haven't yet found our peak, and timing is really important. But I still believe 100% about our team and the things that we can do, you know, throughout this season. And I still believe it could be a special, special season. And then we all do believe, too. So, you know, we just want people, and fans especially, to ride with us, you know, through these struggles. Because this, we win together and we lose together.
Wow, you pissed him off.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I mean, look, the fans are going to boo at times. Players post-game are going to, at times, have their opinion on said booing. I come from the stance of, if you sat through Andrea Bargnani and you sat through Hafa Arujo and you sat through 90 guys that sucked that I can't remember, you want to boo, you boo.
Sure.
Go ahead.
You've paid to be there.
I'm more upset at guys that don't show up in the Platinums at the start of the second half than I am of fans at the end of the first half when you put up 36 points on a team with two of their most important guys. Tyreek Evans is pretty good. But Anthony Davis is in a suit and has the wingspan the size of Milton. He's not in this game. You can't put up 36 points. And if fans want to boo, I say they boo.
Now, the cool thing about this is because I cover the Raptors, the Blue Jays, the Leafs, other things
in
this city.
That's murderers row you cover.
I do.
You need 8 weeks vacation after that.
The cool thing is when they're honest, when a player is honest, and when they say, it hurts my feelings when this happens, regardless of what it's about, it's really good because I'm getting a genuine side of a player that is really often hard to come by.
Which you get a lot out of Gravis.
Always.
You get a lot of that out of Gravis.
But other guys on that team, not so much. I mean,
you're not getting that.
No, Jonas Valanciunas.
DeMar is like flatline. DeMar, good or bad, it's the same dude. Jonas, same guy.
He did say that he felt really bad yesterday after the game. Of course he did. You know, you've lost 7 of your last 9 games. So, yes, of course you feel bad. But for somebody to say that they heard that the fans are booing and to acknowledge that, I appreciated it. I tweeted it out yesterday. Just that nice little quote of him saying, we hear you booing, I'm discouraged.
I'm sure you got some reaction off that.
I absolutely did. People were pretty much saying, suck it up, Buttercup. Toronto Raptors.
They were being way more harsh than that.
They were, but you know.
Thank you for cleaning up for a family, radio station.
My mom's watching.
Hey, Mom.
Hey.
Megan Robinson, SportsCent 590, The Fan here on Tim and Sid. The Raptors right now can't do anything right. They've lost 7 of 9, and they're taking on a Milwaukee team tonight, run by Jason Kidd, who are a couple games above 500. They're 7th in the East. They're in that mix. That's a SportsNet 1 game. You can listen to it here on the radio side starting at 8 o'clock. Eric Smith and Paul Jones. Do we have the Coach Casey guys? All right, this was one of Dwayne Casey's first comments as he walked in the room. Doug Smith is the patriarch of the Toronto basketball
sure
media.
Sure is, the godfather.
He's the godfather. He gets first questions like the White House. Doug, go ahead. You get first question. And this is how Dwayne Casey kind of described his club post-game yesterday.
We're playing in mud right now. Confidence-wise, you know, we got to come out believing, you know, you're going to make a play offensively or defensively. I know that last rebound come down and, you know, kind of falls through everybody's hand. So just playing with that type of confidence, that type of belief that you can get it done and not, you know, feeling like the weight of the world's on our shoulder. Somehow, some way, we've got to get back to playing basketball and not feeling that the weight of the world on their shoulder.
All right. Playing in mud, weight of the world on their shoulder. I'm seeing a couple tweets at Tim and Sid of people going, Sid, they're third. Relax. They're third in the East. The division they're in might be the worst division in the history of basketball. The Knicks are tanking. The Celtics are tanking. The Sixers, I don't know if they legally count as a team. There's a lot going on in their division that needs to be acknowledged here. So with all due respect to third in the East, you keep it for now, and you come back and talk to me later. Because right now that division sucks. And they're atop a sucky division. That's not their fault. But don't tell me that's a real record there. Don't sell me that right now. Especially if you watch the team play, which Megan Robinson does with SportsCent 590, The Fan. What's it going to take for them to loosen up? Like you've been there all season. Like what has to happen now? Does Kyle need to take over tonight? Does DeMar need to have one of those games? Although to be fair to DeMar, he's been kind of pretty good since he came back.
Well, 3 games in after missing 21 with a groin injury.
Or is everything Terrence Ross's fault?
Well, everything is not Terrence Ross's fault.
It's not, right? But it's kind of being crazy the way it's painted.
And well, it's funny actually. DeMar DeRozan, as you said, he's been pretty good leading the team in scoring through 3 games back, but before he came back, it was made very clear. He's not going to be the cure-all to their problems. He jumped in, and they won his first game back and then lost the second game back, now the third. So, no, DeMar DeRozan is not going to be the answer to all their problems. I think it's one of those things where they all need to come in and be humble. Jonas Valanciunas said something post-game yesterday, and he said in that third quarter, the difference maker was that they came out from the first half humble and recognized that they needed to put their heads down and work together and stay together as a team. I think they're kind of losing that. And Dwayne Casey made kind of mention of last season's team at a practice just the other day. And he said last year's team was different. You know, those guys would come in as humble players. They were not looking at records. They were not letting success get to their heads. And he thinks that, yes, success maybe did get to these guys this season. So now that they've lost 7 of 9, they are still third in the East. But having lost this much, how do you get out of it? Because there isn't time for a full practice and they're back at it tonight, they really need to come out with the same attitude that they came into the third quarter with yesterday.
It's interesting you bring up records. Because I think at its core, I think what we're seeing now is this. Last season was last season. They kind of snuck up on everybody. They started the year. I still think people, I don't know how seriously people took them. I think what you're seeing now, they're not sneaking up on anyone. I think what the Raptors are seeing from a lot of these teams are their best. Because the Kyle Lowry talk is out there. And they were atop the East for 60-some-odd days, whatever it was. The Raptors aren't surprising anybody. And I think the struggle that they're having right now is when they're settling into themselves and they're a little below par, some of these teams coming in are 2-3 ticks above it. And that's what you're seeing. Now, how do you readjust that focus? I'm not entirely sure.
Adversity isn't a bad thing, Sid. I mean, you know, as we talked about earlier, when you are playing down, when you've lost 7 of 9, you have to come in and not take any team for granted and not think that you can go in.
Correct.
The Bucks are without Kendall Marshall. He's got a torn ACL. No Jabari Parker this season. Same injury.
Yeah.
Was it Larry Sanders out with he's out with a suspension for the drug
policy?
Is he
in love with the cocoa or is there something else with Larry Sanders? I think it's weed. We'll double check that.
Regardless.
But they've had their hits too, Milwaukee.
Right. Yeah.
But you can't tell me Milwaukee, having sat there last night waiting on the Raptors, aren't going to come out tonight. How they come out tonight is going to be very interesting. Sportsnet 1, 8 o'clock. You can listen to it here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I want to talk about Terrence Ross.
Sure.
This organization can't be scared to sit Terrence Ross. And then when I say sit, I mean starting lineup.
Right.
I don't see how letting him come off the bench for a little bit completely stunts his development under any circumstances.
So Dwayne Casey said yesterday post-game as well that that's not something that they are, you know, they have considered sitting him. They have
considered removing
him from the starting lineup.
Scared of it, Megan.
They haven't done it yet, and I don't know why. He put up 0 points last night. He put up 5 points against Atlanta. He was minus 17.
Preach.
The game before that, two
Preach.
Points. Terrence Ross. I would like to say, though, Terrence Ross is sitting right now with his head down, hanging low, and he's not confident at all. He's going to be 24 years old February 5th, so he's really young still. But if you look at a guy like DeMar DeRozan, who's just turned 25, the attitudes are completely different. But DeMar DeRozan also knows what it's like to go through adversity to struggle. I don't know if he knows what it's like to go entirely pointless through a first half of a basketball game, because that's just not DeMar DeRozan's style of play. When shots aren't falling, they need to keep taking them.
No.
They have to keep taking them. But Terrence Ross, I think, needs to work a little harder. Terrence Ross is in the last, I'd say, a couple of weeks during that homestand, he was always the first person to leave practice.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry leaves practice really early as well. Kyle Lowry is Kyle Lowry. He's not struggling right
now. Kyle
Lowry
has $50 million banked.
Right. So he can leave practice early. Terrence Ross, who's struggling right now, he can't leave practice early, and he has been. And so, you know, the players are saying we need to stick by him. We need to make sure that he knows.
But he has to help himself.
He absolutely does. You can only tell him to work so hard before he has to actually work.
And it's frustrating because athletically he's a freak.
A freak.
We see it once every 15 games. We see him crush a guy so hard on a dunk, he insults the guy's family.
But he is nobody in compared to the Terrence Ross that we saw last season when he put up 51 points that one game. He's not that player
now. The emphasis there, the one game.
Right.
Right?
Right.
The one game where Terrence Ross went crazy. Was there an explanation from Dwayne Casey yesterday as to why James Johnson wasn't on the court at the end of that game for defensive purposes?
No. No. They had decided that Gravis was giving them the offensive spark that they needed, and they felt that he could do the job, and that was that.
Okay. That's a weird one for me, why is Amir so high in that? I don't know. There's a bunch of little things in that final possession where Tariq Evans won the game. I don't quite understand how that played out. The one thing I am noticing, a lot of people notice, they can't defend off the dribble right now. I believe the number in the paint for New Orleans yesterday, this is without Anthony Davis, their number in the paint was 62 points allowed the Raptors. Anthony Davis is in a suit, and most of that is coming off the penetration, the dribble penetration. So I'm now thinking to myself, what can Dwayne Casey do? Well, there's an obvious thing he can do. And it dawned on me, Megan, I'm watching Louisville Duke Saturday afternoon, and we all know Duke has this first year coach called Mike Krzyzewski, who's not first year. He's about to win 1,000 games in Division I basketball. They've lost two in a row. They were undefeated for a while. They've lost two in a row. What's the one thing I've never seen Mike Krzyzewski do? Rarely. I mean rarely. Go zone. Zone defense and protect the paint. I have never in my life seen Mike Krzyzewski do that. He did that Saturday afternoon against Louisville after they were getting killed for two games in the paint, and Louisville shot like 25% in the first half. They didn't know how to handle it. And my question now is, how many times, if Mike Krzyzewski can at some point go, you know what, we got to protect the paint, because Jonas ain't doing it, and the guys off the dribble aren't doing it, at some point, doesn't that coaching staff say, you know what, let's play zone for 6 minutes? And I don't see that happening with the coaching staff here. We're going to stay one-on-one defending. We can't do a damn thing right now with it, but we're going to stay one-on-one defending, despite the fact Gravis is getting destroyed, Kyle's getting destroyed, and DeMar's getting destroyed. And Lou, God bless Lou, but if he's not making a shot, what's he doing out there? I really think there's an easy, quick solution to try and stem that tide, because they're getting killed in the paint, and it's not with big men. They're getting killed with the penetration, just like that game ended yesterday. And I'm losing it, trying to figure out why the coaching staff won't just go zone a couple times and shake it up.
So that may or may not be a simple solution for Dwayne Casey.
But I've never coached the NBA. I think it's going to work. Personally, that's just my gut. There you go. I think that would work.
I don't know if they're looking for a simple solution right now. I don't know if they're willing to try something like that, because they have no confidence right now in what they're doing. So from what I've heard from all of the players and what I've heard from Coach Casey, it's that they want to go back to the little things and playing well, playing humbly, and sticking to their game plan, which they often don't share with us, because that's what worked for them at the beginning of the season. That's what worked for them last season. But as you spoke about, and as we've agreed upon, teams aren't coming now expecting to be surprised by the Raptors. They know what team they're playing against. So maybe you're right. Maybe that is the solution. But I don't know if they're looking for an easy fix right now, or if they're willing to just try something for 6 minutes.
It's a good question. Megan Robinson in the studio. By the way, tonight at 11:59 Eastern, I believe, is when the voting closes.
Yes.
For All-Star starters. And I know the Kyle Lowry thing was really hot for a while. It seems like it's kind of fizzled a little bit in the last 7 days. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's the fact that they're sucking and everyone's freaking out about it. Everyone's like, yeah, we'll deal with Kyle in a second. How about you defend for about 20 straight minutes? And then we'll go back to the voting. It'd be nice if he got in. Tim and I did our best to try and get some votes. I know Prime Minister Harper, with his Twitter account, quotations, tried to do it. I don't think he's going to get in. But do you think he's getting in the All-Star game, Kyle?
Yeah, absolutely.
He would have to, right?
Yeah.
I think he's getting in.
Who's in front of him right now? John Wall?
It's John Wall and Dwayne Wade. The final update was John Wall and Dwayne Wade. Now, he was about 100,000 votes shy.
Right.
That's when a real push started. And, maybe he closed the gap, but
I will say
I don't know if he's going to pull those guys in to start.
He's not really thinking about it right now.
No, he's got other issues. He looks tired, though.
And
the one guy I'll take being tired, considering how his December went, is Kyle Lowry.
Right.
I don't want to hear that garbage from any of these other guys. Kyle can be tired if Kyle is tired.
When DeMar DeRozan came back, he took a lot of pressure off of Lowry, which I think was a relief for him. The first game that DeRozan was back, we went to his locker first. Even just that little pressure, not having to talk to the media right away. And we could see that he was loosening up a little bit. When DeMar was away, he gave us a lot of attitude, Lowry, because I think he was just tired.
Yeah.
He's tired of talking to us.
He's tired.
He's tired of having to explain why they're losing day in and day out, because he doesn't have an answer on his own. I mean, I don't think any of them do. I think they're just trying to be positive and put it behind them. There's nothing they can do about losing 7 of 9 now. All they can do is go forward and try and win 7 of the next 9.
Megan Robinson has been in studio. She's put up with me for the last 20-some-odd minutes. I really appreciate it. I would like to let everyone know behind the glass, when she's working during a game, stop texting her and bothering her. Jeff has a party. She's working. Just relax. Go have another Coors Light or whatever it is you're doing. Thanks for coming by. This was fun.
I appreciate it.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Keep it up. Megan Robinson, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We're going to step aside. On the other side, a bit more on TFC, the interview we did with Tim Bezbachenko. Also, a little bit more on the Leafs. And, Milan Lucic, Leaf fans, you'll love this. I'll let you know what he compared yesterday's Seahawks game to. A Bruin. Take a guess. Take your time. We got like a 7-minute break. We'll have it for you next. Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and 360.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Packers do not know better. Home stretch on Tim and Sid. Mikhail's on vacay, back next week. Bob McCowan in studio in mere moments. I'm Sid Sixero alongside Donovan Bennett, who has yet to say his piece regarding what was one of the wildest playoff games. Is that safe to say? Not just conference title games, not just playoff games. That's one of the craziest things you're going to see in the National Football League.
One of the wildest finishes, for sure. Very improbable. I thought your take on Mr. Bostic was spot on.
I say? I can't even remember what I said.
That you don't feel bad for him.
No, I don't. I don't feel bad for him at all. Don't catch it. Okay. Come on, man.
This is the prototypical Bill Belichick, do your job.
There is no greater example. Did you hear Robert Kraft again to the fans last night? It is not just a mantra. It is like the fourth testament in New England. Do your job. He looked at the fans. And all the fans did your job. Robert Kraft.
Well, when you go to Foxborough, they sell Belichick T-shirts and cutoff hoodies with his face and his arms across. He looks miserable. And the caption on the shirts are, do your job. And those sell almost as much as the Gronk shirts with the word Gronk in very innuendo-like ways.
The Gronk, and I get the innuendo, the Gronk touchdown late is just typical why that's not fair, right?
Yeah.
I don't care who you put on him when he runs that route with that throw. It's you're not stopping it. It is literally unstoppable.
So Gronk is the opposite of Bostic as far as tight ends are concerned.
He does his job, yes. Bostic's like, if you're Bostic today, if you're the guy who woke up and all of Green Bay and Packer Nation are blaming you, like, what's the first thing you do in the morning? Have some toast? Like, how do you start your day today? Like, how do you start your day?
Not turn on the TV.
No. Unless you're watching Hulu on demand.
Right.
Like, if you're doing that, that's fine.
Well, and the song leading in, No Flex Zone, is obviously...
I knew it was No Flex Zone. Don't tell me it's No Flex Zone.
But it's appropriate because Bostic, right, he was feeling himself. He was in his flex zone a little bit. His job there, right beside Jordy Nelson, who has the call, mine, yours, his job is the personal protector for Jordy Nelson.
Yes.
The mine, or yours, has nothing to do with Bostic. Even if Jordy Nelson's not catching it, Bostic's not supposed to. So you're not even supposed to look at the ball. His job is, if you're going to hit Jordy Nelson, you're going to run through me first.
So obviously... the onside kick is the talking point today. There's some other talking points as well, however. Yes. One that cropped, every morning, I grab my phone, and the good people here at Sportsnet 590, The Fan, if there's a breaking story or something of significance, you'll get an alert. So I look at my phone today, and I see the subject line is deflated balls. And I go, this is a joke. This is Mike Cesney, formerly of the show, just punking me. I don't know what this is. So, again, the accusation is, and the NFL, here's the thing. The NFL's looking at this. The referees claim some of the footballs that the home team is required to provide every game yesterday were deflated. Now, I got a couple questions. One, are they deflated? Like, are all 36 balls just in one general pile and the ball guys just deal with it? Are there specific footballs for the home offense? Are there specific footballs for the road defense? I don't know how that works. Because if that's the case, we got a story. But based on what I'm reading, there's no real advantage one way or another. There was the Edelman catch in the second half, where it was a duck. Like, it was just one of the worst passes Tom Brady's thrown all year.
Right.
Like, what advantage is that for the – if you're purposely deflating footballs, which is the accusation.
Yeah.
How much of an advantage do the Patriots get over the Colts in that situation. I don't understand it.
Right. Well, if memory serves correct, at one point there was a rule put in that each offense could provide their own balls. So Can you repeat that? At one point, if memory serves me correct, each offense could provide their own ball. So if Andrew Luck likes his ball sanded a little bit a certain way, then he could have his own ball. But again, it's not
I don't like where this is going. I got to be honest with you.
It's not unlike the Patriots to find a wrinkle in a rule and exploit it.
Listen, the Patriots never cheat. Let's relax. Well, what's that? Oh, everything. Okay, sorry. I forgot. Spygate and everything else. I'm sorry.
Well, and
I take it back.
And there's a lot of people who won't let the fact die that they have not won since Spygate. Like, those tapes were burnt for some reason.
I think they're about to. I think they're about to. You can't make two turnovers against New England and beat that team. They made five against a team whose quarterback had one leg. Five. Still got away with it. In hindsight, this Super Bowl is going to be interesting. Was that one of the flukiest things in the history of sport? Or is this team just special? Does this team know what they're doing?
Well,
if
you ask Doug Baldwin, who was surely in his flex zone, they are special. Does this take anything? If they go there and lose, take anything away from?
Sorry, who's they?
The Patriots. Sorry.
The Patriots. Okay.
Again, no title since Roger Goodell's office burnt the tapes that no one really knows what advantages they had. Does it take anything away from the three that they won?
I think you're going to have a lot of Patriot haters. I call them Patriot haters. Out there, who if those guys don't get it done in a week and 6 days, that will be part of their narrative.
Right.
Guaranteed, that will be part of their narrative. I think it's a little nuts, but I guarantee that'll be part of the discussion. Absolutely.
Well, last year the discussion was this Seahawks defense one of the best of all time for what they did to Peyton Manning? They put up another similar performance back years against Manning and then Brady. I think you have to then say that.
In terms of the accusations of deflating the balls, the footballs, Tom Brady made his weekly Monday radio appearance on WEEI. I'd love to know what he gets paid for that, because it is clockwork. I'm serious. He is there every week. It's not like a PR guy goes, "Can you do it?" No. He calls in early,
right?
And like, he's never late on this. So do we have the Tom Brady? This is Tom Brady from earlier today reacting to the accusation that the Patriots purposely deflated footballs prior to the AFC title game.
Did you get the sense that you were able to grip the ball better than the Colts last night? Would you care to weigh in on that?
I think I heard it all at this point. So. Oh, God.
We were trying to figure out whose job it is to take the air out of the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure it's Bob Kraft's.
Nobody's.
Yeah.
It's not Jonathan Kraft, no?
No, okay. God, it's ridiculous.
Okay, so I don't think Tom Brady thinks there's anything to it.
I guess not.
Just a hunch. A couple things before we continue. Gabriel at Tim and Sid. Hey, Sid, did you see Kevin Hart on SNL over the weekend? I did. Best of the season.
Wow.
Kevin Hart laid it down on SNL. His monologue, he told a story about his new house. That was it. That was the monologue. No fancy song, no other cast members in. He told a story about his new house. I was crying. Crying. And the rest of the show was really good. And there was a Sia was on.
Okay.
Who I can't see you because she's right. Wearing all this stuff, yeah, right? Yeah, but yeah. She's amazing and she sings great. But it was best SNL of the season, and the bar was very low on that.
Has to be the hardest working person in the history of the face of the earth.
Who, like Kevin Hart.
He has like seven movies a year.
I know.
Plus stand-ups, plus SNL.
Also, I'm being told, and like Megan Robinson and myself were talking about before the break, the deadline for All-Star voting on Twitter and other social media avenues is tonight at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. In an effort to kind of move the needle towards Kyle Lowry, I was told Justin Bieber himself attempted to throw out the tweet that would get a lot of retweets for Kyle Lowry. I'm now being told Bieber screwed it up.
Oh, God.
He didn't put hashtag NBA ballot or his name.
But that's because Bieber follows as a party, though. That's why.
It's funny coming from the guy who I believe did it twice as we try to do it. So the irony, it's dripping in irony here on Tim and Sid. But anyway, Bieber, nice try. Forget about the Calvin Kleins for a second and get it right. Hashtag NBA ballot. And maybe Kyle Lowry can get a little closer. What's the deal with Doug Baldwin of the Seahawks?
He has
this fool the game. He's an idiot.
Really? That's where you're going with this?
This is where.
Because it's not
where,
like you to rant and get upset. Not at all.
Doug Baldwin, who was part of the defending champions, started to play the no one respects us game after this is over. Who the hell is he kidding? They got home field. They're the reigning champions. Russell Wilson's on it. It's on one of every three commercials I see on television. Russell Wilson. People are doubting the Seahawks. They're doubting the Seahawks. Hold on. I'm getting ahead of the story.
Okay.
Explain what we're about to see here and here.
Well, this is Doug Baldwin impromptu outside of the Seahawks locker room with the press, who's waiting to move into the media room for their post-game scrum. He is addressing the national NFL media on what he feels the lack of respect has been shown.
So normally a player would just duck into the room and leave the media out. This guy, Doug, had something to say before he ducked in the room, is what you're saying.
Yes, yes.
All right, it went like this.
Everybody counted us out. Y'all didn't believe in us. A whole bunch of people thought we weren't going to make it, right? We went 6-4. Oh, that's okay. They got a winning record, but they're not going to go to the playoffs. Remember that? 16-0 at the first half. How many of y'all counted us out? How many of y'all doubted us? It's indicative of our entire season. Y'all don't want to believe in us. It's okay. You ain't got to believe in us because we're going to believe in ourselves. We ain't worried about y'all. We worried about ourselves. When it was 16-0 at halftime, guess what we said? Don't trip. You don't win the game in the first half. You win the game in the second half. And what we do? We come out and we do what we do. We play Seahawks football. We got an opportunity to do what we love, and we'll see y'all in the Super Bowl. Were you saying?
Yeah, Seahawks football. Punter throws for a touchdown. Touchdown, onside kick, touchdown.
Canadian,
Seahawks football, boom.
Canadian punter.
Canadian punter.
Hashtag CIS.
We should get some tax on that. I mean, Luke Wilson with the biggest play of the game, no one's talking about the two-point conversion.
That's a great point.
And your boy, Ryan, with the pass. John Ryan has more career touchdowns than Johnny Manziel. That is a factual fact. Who is this guy fooling? We sat here most of the season and said the Cardinals are not winning that division. Mainly because they were on the third stringer. But we were giving the Seahawks, I think a lot of us gave the Seahawks the benefit of the doubt. Now, if they're at 6-4, there's wiggle room on that discussion. But spare me the us against, the Patriots have an us against the world. The Patriots, never mind the national media, by the local media, had people putting dirt on the graves after September the 29th. That is, you cannot argue. So if anyone has a beef, it's probably Brady and those guys who've won a lot and everyone completely jumped ship. That was insane. And he did that like 3 or 4 times after the game yesterday.
What you missed before the cameras were rolling, Baldwin started his rant with ice dancing, I've given up on you.
Let's give him a little
something. That's how he started it.
Give him some.
First of all, who are you to complain about someone losing it in the moment of passion during a rant? Number one. Number two, what was the narrative after they won that Super Bowl? What was the photo that they all took? Guys drafted in the 5th round or later. That's their thing. That is their thing.
But once you're
whether
gonna
it's
work,
real
no,
or
second.
Whether it's manifested, they have to have that chip on their
hold
shoulder.
On.
They need that to get it back.
Once I get the Johnston's ring.
Johnston's.
Okay? Once the guy from Johnston's comes
from
around
school?
And has the nice brochure with the ruby stones in it, that is out the window to me. You can use that in the moment if you haven't won, if you genuinely feel it. I will buy that from you. Don't when you are the defending Super Bowl champions, start preaching to me about disrespect, about you didn't believe. Shut up.
But Sid,
you were down 16-0 at the half.
Sid, how many teams, not just Super Bowl winners,
ridiculous,
Super Bowl participants don't make it back to the playoffs. Never mind back to the Super Bowl. We bring that stat up at the beginning of the year every year. So the fact that they have been able to make it back is because of that chip on their shoulder, because they're still hungry. And let's be honest, when they traded Percy Harvin and their offense looked like dirt, there were people throwing dirt on their coffins. Let's not forget, they struggled out the gate.
The part of this, the context we need to give this is Deion Sanders on the NFL Network called their receiving core all right. They call them all
right. Right.
And they heard that. All those guys watch NFL Network. That's where this is kind of coming from. I think Deion Sanders is right. Like I can throw you 30 wide receivers that you would take over anyone on the roster. If Jermaine Kearse doesn't make that catch at the end of the game and they lose,
right?
Jermaine Kearse is Bostic.
Yeah,
he was targeted. Jermaine Kearse did not work for any of those passes. He didn't work to bat him down. He didn't work to catch him. He gave up on half of them.
Right.
So spare me the. Listen, you are an average receiving core, and you got away with it yesterday. Don't tell me you're not. Don't try and feed me this other line that, you know, I'm looking at Randy Moss and Chris Carter, and like I don't want to hear it.
Right, but the Packers have a great receiving core. No questions. They're going to be in Arizona on Radio Row. These guys are going to be in Arizona getting ready for football.
Well, because one of the receivers weren't allowed to catch an onside kick. I agree. They have some very good receivers. Leaf fans, I'll leave you with this. We got this, Lancey. Someone asked Milan Lucic today what that Seattle victory reminded him of. Milan Lucic said it reminded him of Game 7 against the Leafs.
Bouncing puck along the boards. Horton can't get to it, but it comes right into the slot. Bartkowski scores! Krejci carries out of his own zone to center up on the left wing for Lucic. Lucic drives around back of the goal, centers, it comes in front of the net, they score! Back to the point, Bergeron, Teixeira, shooting, Reimer the save, rebound, scores!
It's still unbelievable.
To the point, far side it goes, back it comes to Bergeron, Bergeron shooting, scores! Boychuk, shot right into the slot, knocked away by Francis. Marchand centering pass. That's blocked. The rebound's Dallaire. Cleared away. They score.
Wow.
There's people crying in their cars.
Listen, blame Milan Lucic. Don't blame me. I just do things here. I didn't bring it up. Don't get mad at me for bringing that up. Someone asked Milan Lucic. He offered that up willingly today at a practice or a skate. I don't know what it is.
Speaking of willingly, before we go, what's going on with your boy McGregor willingly leaving?
Oh, shout out. Good day for Boston. So not only do the Patriots win yesterday, there was a UFC in Boston last night. And Conor McGregor from Ireland, who was adopted as a Bostonian, not only beats the crap out of Dennis Seaver, wasn't even close, but Jose Aldo, the champion, leaps the cage and runs in and challenges him in the first row. I didn't like it because there were kids in the vicinity. That's the part of that I didn't like last night. There were kids in the vicinity, and you should really relax on the hype buildup. Anyway, topic.
So you don't like people who get hyped up, basically.
No, but just watch the kids. Just relax. There were kids in there. I'm just saying. It's like when I see babies in the front row at Raptor games, I get nervous.
Sid says, keep calm and carry on. That's where we're at.
Conor McGregor just left the cage and went after Jose Aldo. Okay, we have no time. Bob McCown is next. Thanks, Deej.
Thank you.
More Tim and Sid tomorrow. I'll try and be better. McCown's still on vacay. See you.